Hi, this is Julie Fudge, daughter of Patsy Cline, and you're listening to Way Back with my good friend Johnny Woodlock.
Just hoping you may be somewhere a-walking after midnight searching for me.
Well now, friends, following those classic gospel-inspired favorites, we're once again back here this morning. So now time to remind y'all that we are still coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario. We can also be heard on CFRC 119 FM from the limestone city of Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And also being heard via www.oshawarocks.com. With that mentioned, I would like to welcome y'all into the third and final hour of this morning's program with our second double feature of this week. With that, let's remember the legendary Sheb Woolley, also known as Ben Colder. And Sheb would have celebrated his birthday on April 10th, born in 1921, but sadly passing away in 2003. Anyways, Sheb would have celebrated his birthday this week. And so in honor of him, we're going to pay tribute to an all-time classic, rather serious song called Papa's Old Fiddle. Then we'll follow with one of his Ben Colder classics called That's My Pa. With that, I'll also dedicate these to my dear friend Christy Woolley, who just happens to be Sheb's daughter out there in California. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Papa brought his fiddle to the new frontier, and many a night it brought us cheer when he'd play for us. My papa had an old homemade fiddle, whittled out of a piece of pine wood. Lord knows it didn't look like much, but it sounded mighty good. And when the chores were done after supper, papa'd take that old fiddle down. He'd sit there in an old cane-bottom chair, and all of us kids would gather around. Though the times were hard on the frontier, Papa never made a fuss. And somehow the world seemed to be a little bit brighter when he'd play for us. I could always tell just about how he felt. He'd sit there and close his eyes, and that old fiddle would almost talk. Sometime I'd swear he's gonna cry. And there was the time when Mama took sick. The joy in our home was gone. One night she called Papa close to her bed. I heard her say, "Papa, play me a song." I saw the tears roll down his cheek. He turned toward the wall, and he took that old fiddle under his chin. He stood there straight and tall. Now the years have gone by and the thoughts of hard times have almost faded away. But the memory of Papa's old fiddle, well, I think that'll always stay. Sometimes I can almost hear it at the close of a day, and I remember just how much it meant to me when my Papa used to play.
Kids and one of them was me. In the fall of the year when the fields got white, we'd start picking cotton about daylight. And on Saturday, Pa'd take it all to town. In along about dark and everything was still, we could tell it was Pa coming down the hill, cause he'd rear back and he'd sound off something like this.
'cause the roads got crooked on Saturday night, and he'd come on down the hill and he'd stop in the yard. He'd sit up there on that wagon seat and he'd say, boys, I'm hard to beat, 200 pounds of steel and twice as hard. Cause I'm wild and woolly and full of fleas, and I've never been curved below the knees, and he'd rear back and bellow out a course or two. That's my ball. Said I'm rough and ready and about half wild, and I can whip anybody in a half a mile. Of course, there wasn't anybody else there except me and little Skeet. Said I'm just as tough as a hickory briar, and I can dive deeper and come up drier. And he did it, too, right off that wagon seat. Well, it shook him up when he hit the ground. All got up and looked around, and then reared back and let us have it again.
And yes, friends, following our double feature of today by none other than Sheb Woolley, we're once again back here on the Way Back with Johnny Show. It's that time in the program. Send some special songs down east to the good old Maritimes, including our dear friends Peter and Myrna in Pugwash, Nova Scotia. With that mentioned, let's begin with the pride of the East Coast, as I have often referred to him as, Dick Nolan, and his own version of Isle of Newfoundland. We'll then follow with Stu Davis out of Manitoba, I do believe he originated from, but it's going to be a classic called A Place Called Newfoundland. And we'll wrap up with our beloved King of the Newfies, yes, Michael T. Wall, a good friend of our program and myself, and his all-time classic that I've been playing a lot of lately, because it is true, after all, with these gas prices, who wouldn't be playing a song called Gasoline with that? We'll send these all out to our Newfoundland and East Coast listeners. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Cold Canadian water, north from the coast of Maine, there's an island called Newfoundland, swept by snow, wind, and rain. And on the island, there's a village with its customs and its ways, a little town called Corner Brook, my home of childhood days. Now those childhood days were something, and carefree all the time. There's a girl in every story, and you know there's one in mine. Well, she broke my heart so often, it stays a little sore, and that's the reason I left home and can't go back no more. Where the people make a living on the land and on the sea, and there are people on the island that need I had the power to change the course of time, to live again in Newfoundland, my home of childhood time. Well, I'd love to watch the sailboats.
Cape Norman down to old Cape Ray, along the rocky coastline to St. George's Bay, where the Terra Nova River winds its way down to the sea. God has made this rugged country for all of us to see. In the great Atlantic Ocean lies a place called Newfoundland. Blessed with many lakes and rivers, it's a paradise so grand. With its tamarack and spruce trees, its maple, birch and pine, God recreated Eden when he made this home of mine. Through rocky canyons filled with beauty rare, dressed in scenic splendor far beyond compare, flows the mighty Humber River on its way towards the west, across the province they call Newfoundland, the land that I love best. In the great Atlantic Ocean lies a place called Newfoundland, blessed with many lakes and rivers, it's a paradise so grand. With its tamarack and spruce trees, its maple, birch and pine, God recreated Eden when he made this home of mine.
Gasoline, gasoline, highest prices that I ever seen. What on earth is going on with gasoline? Oh, gasoline. Filled up my tank the other night. Watched that meter just spin out of sight. Don't I wish they'd lower the price of gasoline? Oh, gasoline. She spends a lot of time in my backyard. I can't afford to drive her far on gasoline, gasoline. Gasoline, gasoline, highest prices that I ever seen. Aren't we tired of getting a ream by gasoline, oh gasoline? Fill her up again, sir. What? Almost empty again. Think I'll just buy me a pony with plenty of horsepower. Yeah, that's what I'll do. Just feed us some oats and hay. Giddy up there, Chip. Tie your silver away.
Hi friends, it's Peter Trenum from way down here in Nova Scotia. You're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the way back.
To be ever with the Lord, you and me.
Well, yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to pay tribute to the high, lonesome sounds of bluegrass music. With that mentioned, let's pay tribute to some high, lonesome sounds of bluegrass this morning, especially a song called Good Morning Country Rain, for all this rain we've been having lately. And that, of course, is by none other than Miss Rhonda Vincent, the queen of bluegrass music. We'll then follow with the legendary Mack Wiseman, who we remember as the voice with a heart. Mack Wiseman is going to be doing his classic called Dreaming of a Little Cat. I'll wrap up with another legendary team of brothers in bluegrass music, my late friend Jesse McReynolds and his brother Jim McReynolds, and their all-time classic called I Heard the Bluebirds Sing. With that, we'll also send these out to our dear friend Sparky, also known as Sander Day, in Ingleside. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Hangs up. Good morning, country rain. I have often sat for hours watching dew fall on the flowers. Oh, I hope I never change. Good morning, country rain. Good morning, country rain. It's good to be back home again. Magic that I can't explain.
Somebody called my name. I looked and saw a sweet old lady, and it seemed I was a child again. She gently put her arms around me and kissed her little boy once more. And I knew it was the same sweet mother who had kissed them many times before. Silver threads among the gold. She told me once again of Jesus within that little cabin fold. She opened up the family Bible where the family record used to be. And I knew it was the same sweet mother who years ago had cradled me. Somebody called my name. I looked and saw a sweet old lady, and it seemed I was a child again. She gently put her arms around me and kissed her little boy once more. And I knew it was the same sweet mother who had kissed me many times before.
My lonely heart a thrill. Her beauty seemed just like a breath of spring. And when I looked into her eyes, I thought of bluer summer skies. And when I held her hand in mine, I heard the bluebirds sing. They sang of wondering,
wondering if he loves her,
will she marry,
marry if he'll ask her,
will her heart be,
heart be true for him for
then and evermore. And when she's lonely,
lonely is he near her,
when there's sadness,
sadness in each year,
will they always,
always be together,
until in death they part. Planned on being married in the spring. All through the long cold winter months, it seemed the spring would never come. And every gloomy winter day, I heard the bluebirds sing.
They sang of waiting,
waiting for the flowers,
and of counting,
counting every hour,
till the bluebird,
bluebird chirps and welcome
into the world once more. And while we're waiting,
waiting for the sunshine,
we keep hating,
hating every storm cloud
that is
us far apart.
Then when at last spring touched the earth, we're married in the village church. Our wedding seemed just like a dream come true. Though many years have come and gone, our love is still as true and strong as when I found her long ago. And still the bluebirds sang,
they sang of loving,
loving every hour
that I'm married,
married to my flower,
and we're happy,
happy ever after
since the day we met.
And though we're older,
older love is sweeter,
we grow fonder,
fonder of each other.
We'll be sweethearts,
sweethearts close together
until the end of time.
Freight train, freight train, going so fast.
McReynolds, member of the Grand Ole Opry, Nashville, Tennessee, and you listen to my friend Johnny Woodlock.
I don't care what train I'm on, as long as it keeps rolling on.
Well, yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to pay tribute to Miss Loretta Lynn, the coal miner's daughter of country music. With that mentioned, I would like to pay tribute to some of her later recordings in her career. With that also mentioned, let's first pay tribute to a classic called Table for Two. We'll then follow with a song called Everything It Takes, which was a duet she did later in her career with Elvis Costello. We'll wrap up with another song here, this time called The Darkest Day, which was a later recording of an early song she had recorded in the 60s. With that, here's my final collection of songs by none other than the coal miner's daughter, Miss Loretta Lynn.
I come here each night and take out your picture. I sit here and wonder just where I went wrong. There's no end in sight, no hope for the future. I miss you all over every night that you're gone. Table for two, just me and your memory. Between you and me, it's over and done. I think of you and cry like a baby. can't help but think that someday you'll miss me. Some night you'll be lonely and you'll come around. The more wine I drink, the harder it hurts me. Your chair is still empty and the candles burn down. Table for two, just me and your memory. Between you and me, it's over and done. I think of you. misery. It seems that my world is to an end. Just dreaming of things that might have been. Oh, why don't that old sun shine bright? Today's the darkest day of my life. Just before dawn. Then I know soon I'm gonna face tomorrow. I just can't take this darkness on and on. It seems that my world is to an end. Just dreaming.
If I sent a rose to you, how every time you make me blue.
Hi, everybody. This is Mickey Gilly, the original old urban cowboy, with you right here on the Way Back. Stay tuned for some great country music.
I just want my arms around you.
Well, now, friends, it's once again that time in the program to pay tribute to the third and final part of this interview between Ralph Emery and Loretta Lynn from the golden age of country music. With that mentioned, I always had a dream, as mentioned before, of interviewing Loretta Lynn. However, that never came about. But I would like to pay tribute to her and Ralph with an interview they got to do in about 1990s or so. With that mentioned, we'll follow this with an all-time classic by Conway Twitty and Loretta called Mississippi Woman, Louisiana Man. With that, welcome in, friends, and now here is the legendary voice of Miss Loretta Lynn and Ralph Emery.
I want to talk about the movie Coal Miner's Daughter. I think most people know that you had a hit book, Coal Miner's Daughter, the book.
Yes.
And from that came the movie. You picked Sissy Spacek.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Mike Maitland was the president of the company at that time, and he brought over a big stack of pictures about that high. And he said, now, Loretta, I want you to look at these pictures. And if there's a coal miner's daughter movie, who would you like to see play that movie? Just tell me who you'd like. Just sit, I just want your opinion. So I started going through that. There's about a foot of pictures going through them, and all of a sudden, here come this blonde-headed girl. I didn't look like me, I didn't think, but it was just, that was a coal miner's daughter. She was freckle-faced, and I was freckle-faced, you know. If I get out in the sun, I get spots like that. So she had long, it was a glamour picture of Sissy, real pretty. And I said, this is a coal miner's daughter.
Now, Lane Cross, your manager, told me that they tried to talk you out of this.
Oh, yeah, they had, in fact, they was bringing in other girl singers, and that was costing them $5,000 every time they had to, what is it?
Audition?
Audition, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I called them and told them they're wasting their money. You know, doing it because Sissy was going to be the coal miner's daughter. Well, poor little old Sissy, she heard me get on the Tonight Show. She heard me on the Merv Griffin Show, Tom Snyder. Everywhere I go, I was saying, Sissy Spacek is the coal miner's daughter. And I'd never met her or anything. Tell how smart I am, can't you?
Well,
but she got to seeing this, see?
Yeah.
And she said, I didn't know what to do, so I talked to my manager. He said, no, you're not going to do that, Sissy. He said, that'll make you look bad if you try to do a movie about a country singer. It'll make you look bad. That made me mad. And when she told me to. But that's not the story, the whole story. she did talk to him and tried to reason with him, saying, well, now, it might not be that bad. And she said she prayed all night that night. She said, I always listen to rock music. I've never sung nothing but rock. And she said, and I kept my radio doll set right on the rock station. And she said, I prayed all night that night. Please, God, give me a sign if I'm supposed to be the coal miner's daughter. And she said she got up to go get my, at that time it was 8-track tapes, and said she got up to go get the 8-track tapes, everything I had. And she said she turned the key on, and Coal Miner's Daughter was playing. She says, yes, Lord, yes. She went home and fired her manager.
Didn't she go on the road with you for a year?
For a whole year, we'd, you know, I would do 2 shows a night, and the rest of the night would hang our music, our songs, Fish City, all the songs I'd sing. I played a guitar and went in front, and they'd say hanging with clothespins on lampshades, and she'd be in the back. They liked to kill me, though. I bet I lost 10 pounds.
Well,
because I really worked hard that year.
And she was trying to become you.
Yeah, she become me. And we do not get together very often, too often, because it's very hard on her.
Why is that?
She goes right back into me.
Into character.
Oh, yeah.
She went on and won an Oscar for that
role. Yes, she did. And, you know, I got out to L.A. 3 days before they were doing the Oscar deal. And so I called her up, and she was crying. And I said, Sissy, ain't you ready? She said, I ain't going to get you. Don't Mary Tyler Moore's going to get it. And that. She's just crying. I said, go out and get you a new dress. You better get ready, because you're going to get this. And she couldn't believe it. But she says, you know, I did what you told me. And she said, I felt better after that. And she come and got her Oscar.
Now, I've got something I want to share with you. And I believe this was a feature done by Huell Hauser years ago here in Nashville. And this was the day they wrapped the movie, and they're talking to Sissy and Loretta. And the point of this interview is how much Sissy talks like Loretta.
We sat in the table. I was looking at some pictures that you had done, and Duke come in and said, you better get out there with the party because you're the hostess. And I said, oh, no.
I'm the hostess.
That's right. You just go out there and tell Loretta she's the hostess and play it to the hill.
That's right. And I told everybody just enjoy my spread. Just have fun, do anything they wanted. I fired a couple of people.
Says pull Loretta's flowers up. Well, out there in her garden, I had to run everybody out of my garden.
She worked in her garden all last week, and I got a dadgumdest blister.
It is amazing.
She told the story once that when she was on stage a couple of years ago, the boy said to her, Mom, did you know your hair is about 9 inches shorter in the back? She went, oh my gosh, why didn't you tell me? And they said, well, it's been that way for about 3 years.
She said, 3 months.
About three months, I'm sorry. About 3 months, she said, well, that was before I was a caring about the back of my hair.
Listen, what I seen behind didn't bother me.
As long as it looked good in the front.
Right.
How did you meet Conway Twitty?
The way I met Conway Twitty, I was a big fan of Conway's when he come out with Only Make Believe. And somebody gave me a great big old poster of Conway. Man, I had that poster up on my front room. Paper wasn't too pretty, but Conway Twitty was up there. And so I tell Duke, boy, now this is a singer that I really like. And do like Connie Francis, so it made me jealous. So I got Conway Twitty. Then one day when he made me mad, I broke all of his records of Connie Francis. He didn't have any money to buy any more. So he had a hard time getting them. So I didn't have the money to buy Conway Twitty, so why should he buy Connie Francis?
That's fair to me.
That sounded fair to me, too. So I just got through singing, Happy Birthday, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. You remember that song I had out?
Yes, okay. I do.
Anyway, I walked in just 3 days after I got through recording. I knew Owen was in there, so I just went in to aggravate him a little bit. You know, I had a lot of time on my hands in them days. So I walked in, and I said, he was recording somebody. And whoever it was in the control room, and I didn't look in the control room, and Owen come walking out. And he said, so you're a big Conway Twitty fan. I said, how do you know that? And he said, well, I've heard you talk about it. I said, yep, I had him up on my wall. And he said, well, how would you like to meet Conway? And I said, baloney. I said, I'll never be able to see him. I'll never meet him. I'll never be able to meet him. He said, oh, he's starting to sing country now. And I said, no way. Conway comes walking out. Well, he's just like his poster. I almost hit the floor. You know, I said, my eyes got big, and I said, Conway Twitty? He said, yes, I am. You know how he talked. Mm-hmm. If it had Hello, Darling out at that time, it would have said, Hello, Darling. But he come walking out, and I like to faint it. I know he probably thought I was stupid, and I am a little bit, but who cares?
But you became good friends.
Oh, the best of friends, and do love Conway.
What was your first hit?
The first song we had out.
Which was?
Love is where you find it when you find no love at home.
You became the Diamond Duet, and you won 4 CMA Awards as the Duo of the Year.
And we won 12 Music City News Awards straight.
It was one of the most successful couplings in the history of country music. I spoke to Dee yesterday, and she said, tell you hello.
Well, bless her heart.
Dee, of course, was Conway's wife. I think you were with her when Conway died.
When they brought Conway in, I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it. It was the worst thing I've ever been through, really. I stayed with Dee, and I stayed with the band for a while with Dee, and I'd run up to see Dee, and then I'd come back to sit with Dee. And I'd run back to see how Dew was, because Dew was in real bad shape. They thought he was going to die, anytime. So I was in bad shape myself. After so long, here come the chaplain. I knew all of them by that time. I had been praying enough. I'm telling you, I'd been praying with all of them, and there was about 9 of them in that hospital. So I knew them all, and one of them come to me and said, come here, honey. I went over to him, and he said, do you want to see Conway? I said, why? What's wrong? He said, you want to see him? You're going to see him for the last time alive. And I said, no. And he said, yeah. And I said, let me take Dee. I grabbed Dee by the hand. I said, Dee, let's go see Conway. So I went in telling Conway, I said, Conway, don't you die on me. I said, you know you love to sing. You're going to be all right. And I thought he would. They had him on a life thing. And Dee talked to him and said, Conway, you pull through harder things than this. Then I run upstairs to see Dew. They come in right behind me and said, Conway died. So I run back down. Conway, they tucked the life thing off of him. He was still warm. I didn't even see Dee as I went around. She was covered in a blanket, kind of. And I didn't see anybody. Tell you the truth, I don't remember seeing a soul. I just ran to where Conway was, and they had him pulled right by the curtain, and I fell out of him, and I said, Conway, come down, because I've always heard your spirit is over your body. I don't know. Only God knows. I'm just telling you what I've heard. I was hollering, come down, Conway, come down.
Conway Twitty passed away June the 5th, 1993, at a hospital in Springfield, Missouri. He died of an abdominal aneurysm. A real coincidence in this story is that Loretta Lynn was at the hospital in Springfield, Missouri, when they brought Conway Twitty there. She was there because they were treating her husband, Mooney. Mooney had a terrible problem with diabetes. Mooney would survive that trip to Springfield, but pass away 3 years later in August of 1996. I knew Mooney. A lot of us here knew Mooney, and we loved him and liked to be around him. He was fun to be around. And, when we all went down to Grand Cayman and did those shows down there, he was with us. What happened to Mooney?
This was the hardest thing I think I've ever went through. I think it's been harder on me since he's been gone, even, because when I was with him, he was with me,
Mm-hmm.
I was either sitting in a chair by his bed sleeping, or I was on the couch sleeping beside of him. And they just kept cutting on him. They'd cut a
foot
and then a leg. And yeah, he had. When he quit drinking, it went. I guess that's a shock to your body. And then I heard on TV one day when you sometimes you lose a loved one, you get sugar diabetes from that. Well, I knew when we lost our son. Him and my son was just alike, and that's why I love my son so much. He looked just like his daddy, and that was just what I wanted.
It was Jack.
I wanted that baby that looked just like its daddy. And Dew knew that I was loved that baby so much and loved that kid when he grew up so much because he did look like him. Whatever Dew done one day, Jack would do it the next. If he seen him do it one day, Jack would do the same thing the next. So he wanted to be just like his daddy, and he was. And so I think when he died, I think that Doolittle started going down then. But the hardest part was seeing him cut his legs off, knowing how he liked to work on the farm, and you know, and he loved to drive. He loved to drive that Jeep. And I've been home 3 or 4 times, but I go down and do my shows, and I come right back to town. It's hard on me yet.
She was born Loretta Webb. She became Loretta Lynn. She was born April the 14th, 1935, in Butcher Holler, Kentucky. Got married at the tender age of 13 and 9/10. She stayed married to only one man. That was Mooney. She came to Nashville in 1960 with her first record, I'm a Honky Tonk Girl. That led to many, many awards. Female Vocalist of the Year many times, Entertainer of the Year, finally a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame. Today, Loretta continues her career, though Mooney is gone. Loretta continues to record. She continues to perform on the stages of America. Loretta Lynn, one of a kind.
Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
See the alligator all awaiting nearby. Sooner or later they know I'm gonna try. When she waved from the bank, don't you know I know it's a goodbye fishing line. See you a while ago. With the Louisiana woman waiting on the other side, the Mississippi River don't look so wide. Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we get together every time we can. The Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart. Well, I thought I'd been left, but I never had, till I was wrapped in the arms of a Mississippi man. When he holds me close, it feels almost like another hurricane just to rip the coast. If you can't come to me, I'm gonna go to him. That Mississippi River, Lord, I'm gonna swim.
Hey, Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we get together every time we can. The Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Well, the Mississippi River, Lord, it's 1 mile wide, and I'm gonna get me to the other side.
Mississippi man, I'm losing my mind. Gotta have your lovin' one more time.
I'm gonna jump in the river and here I go. Too bad, alligator, you swim too slow. Hey, Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we get together every time we can. The Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Hey. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Well, now, friends, I would like to pay tribute to a song that came out as the final project that Loretta Lynn ever recorded, called Still Woman Enough. Now, this was out in 2022, a short time before her passing, and it would be her final release. With that mentioned, we'll pay tribute to this all-time classic by Miss Loretta Lynn, and we'll be back following this. Send us all home. Welcome in, friends. Now, here's Miss Loretta once again.
Well, I've been through some bad times, been on the bottom, been at the top. And I've seen life from both sides. It's what you make with what you've got. There's been times life's got me down. Pick myself up and bounce right back around.
I wasn't raised to give up. And to this day, you know what? I'm still woman enough, still got what it takes inside. Enough. I was raised in Oklahoma. Hey, I'm country proud to say. I've seen a lot of changes. Oh, but I ain't never changed. Well, this here girl's been there and done that. They call me hillbilly, but I got today, proving in every way I'm still woman enough, still got what it takes inside. I know how to love, lose and survive. Ain't much I ain't seen, I ain't tried. I've been knocked down but never out of the fight. I'm strong but I'm tender, wise but I'm tough. Still woman enough. The years may come and go, but for me it's just time. Cause without a doubt I know it ain't your age, it's a state of mine. I'm still woman enough.
And with that, friends, that's another wrap on the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC and 101.9 FM, as well as www.oshawarocks.com. With that mentioned, I would like to pay tribute to Miss Loretta as we send us all home today once again, with sharing that she passed away on October 4th, 2022, at the age of 90. Even though she has been gone for 4 years, her music still lives on, as it always will, in the hearts of all us country music fans. Even though she has been gone for several years now, she is still a beloved figure in the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville, Tennessee, as well as country music itself. Now, I would like to follow this and wrap us all up today with an all-time classic recorded version of Amazing Grace. Then we'll send us all home the same way as we opened up today's program, with a timeless classic called Coal Miner's Daughter. And this will be her recitation that she did a short time before her passing of this classic. With that, we'll say may God bless each and every one of you till we meet y'all next weekend. Same great time, same great place on this channel. So long for now, friends, and happy listening.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like I'm
Well, I was born to coal miner's daughter in a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler. We were poor, but we had love. That's the one thing that my daddy made sure of. And he shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar. My daddy, he worked all night in the Van Leer coal mines, all day long in the field of hoeing corn. Mommy, she'd rock the babies at night and read the Bible about the coal oil light. And everything would start all over come break of morn. Daddy loved and raised 8 kids on a miner's pay. And Mommy'd scrub our clothes on a washboard every day. Well, I've seen her fingers bleed, but to complain, there was no need. She'd smile in Mommy's understanding way. In the summertime, we didn't have shoes to wear. But in the wintertime, we'd all get a brand new pair. From a mail order catalog, money made from selling a hog. Daddy always managed to get the money some way. Yes, I'm proud to be a coal miner's daughter. I remember well the well where I do water. The work we'd done was hard. At night we'd sleep cause we were all tired. I never thought of ever leaving Butcher Holler. Well, a lot of things have changed since way back then, and it's so good to be back home again. Not much left but the floors. There's nothing lives here anymore, except the memories of a coal miner's daughter.
Another show is over, another day gone by, with good friends all around me. How the time did fly.
Howdy, friends and listeners. This here is your old host with most, Johnny Woodlock, reporting for Way Back with Johnny over this great channel. The previous show does not represent anything associated with the channel heard on. It is the sole associate of Woodlock Ranch Studios, Cornwall, Ontario. With that, have a great day, and we'll catch y'all next week. So long, friends.
It's hard to find the words I want to say, but friends, I'll try. God bless you all and keep you. Till we meet again, goodbye.
Hi, I'm Steve.